Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for bringing us here again in this beautiful day, in this season of Pentecost. Help me out to be out of the way. And may your word be life-giving for us. In Jesus' name. Amen. How many of us here this morning have just faced storms of life? Or are facing right now a storm of life? We all had storms in life, don't we? All of us here have faced one way or another storms. Storms are very unpredictable, just like what happened in Maui. They didn't have any time at all to escape for their lives. That's why, according to the news, there are probably right now more than 80 that died in that resort island. What's happening when you face storm? Real storm. Come on, talk to me, church. Let's have a little conversation. What's happening when you're facing storm?
We question why.
It's a lot of fear.
We retreat.
We want to be safe because our lives is at stake. It's a lot of unpredictability. It's a lot of the unknowns when you're raging the storms. Right here in the state of North Carolina, we face so many hurricanes and storms. But not just in our state, but in our country, in our world today. But how about storms of life? Storms of loss of loved ones. The storm of debilitating illness. The storm of this dreaded disease called cancer. The storm of losing your jobs. The storm of divorce and separation. The storms of breaking down of relationships. Don't we all been there, church? There's a saying, if you have not faced a storm yet, somehow you will face one way or the other. We see in this story, the disciples are out in the sea in the midst of the storm. And let's step there for a while and seeing that. Can you imagine? This whole bunch of fishermen right there in the sea. And all of a sudden, the storms came in. All to the point. What do you think they're going to feel? Terrified, I'm sure. Because that might cost not just their livelihood, it may cost their lives, right? They don't know what's going to happen. They don't know what's going to be coming up. Think about the moments in your life when you face the storms of life. Things are raging in you. And suddenly you don't know what's going to happen. You hit the brick wall. Am I going to come out on this alive? Whether it's pandemic, whether it's illnesses, whether it's the loss of jobs or loss of relationships. Don't you identify yourself this morning on the Peters and the disciples as they battle the storms? Right there in the raging seas. It must consume you. It must overwhelm you and overpower us. I think of a moment in my life when I experienced that myself. He just sucked the energy out of me. And I was on the verge of collapse. But here's the good news, that that was not the end of that story. Because in the midst of that, that following morning, you know what happened in that story? Who they saw? They saw Jesus. And what Jesus, what did they see in Jesus that time? They saw him walking on the water. I want you to think that for a second, church. If you happened to be there and you saw Jesus walking in the water, what would be your thoughts? It must be unbelievable. Unimaginable. Can you imagine a human being walking on the water? And they must be terrified. That's the word that we heard from the scripture. And they thought that he was a ghost. He was not real. That could never happen at all. That Jesus that just went with us, feeding the 5,000, healing the sick, coming alongside with us in visiting the sick and the poor and the lepers, doing all these miracles, and now he is walking on the water. They must have been terrified. For only Jesus can do that. And here you are, Peter, one of the amazing characters of that story. How many of you are fans of Peter here? Out of his curiosity and out of his faith, he said, Jesus, if you command me, I'm going to step out of the boat. Okay, let's stop there and digest that. How many of you wants to be in your comfort zone? You don't want to dare to be out of your comfort zone. Have you all been there, church? Got to be honest. Whether it's individually or as a church, as a body of Christ, we don't want change, don't we? We want to be where we are because that's our comfort zone. But here you are, Peter, seeing Peter and seeing Jesus right there. He must have already trusted him. He must have a faith that is in him to dare to venture out into this unknown. Think about a moment when you step out of the boat in your life. Whether the first time you get out into college, you remember you leaving your parents behind, you step out of the boat and went to your college for the first time, freshman. Think about that moment. Think about the moment when you first got your job. That's a step out of the boat. Think about the moment when you first got your first home. Or the first time you decided, I'm going to get married to this wonderful partner that God has given to us. That's a stepping out of the boat. Think about that moment when you decided to accept Jesus as your Lord and your Savior. And when you decided to join the church. Those are stepping out of the boat experience. You dare to get out of the boat. To risk and venture out into the unknown, into the uncharted waters. And that's exactly what Peter did. He stepped out from the boat. For the first time, he experienced that. That nobody else had experienced. That must be exciting for him. But that was not the end of the story, church. Amen? But we will see these things continue to unfold before us. What happened next after he stepped out of the boat? Talk to me now, church. But before that, he lost his focus. He probably saw the storms raging and he was overcome by the raging seas and the storms. And he began to sink. Think about the times in our life that we lost our focus on God. Have we all been there, church? This very sermon was preached only last Sunday when I stood up before 170 people in the downtown Honolulu. And I preached the same message, but a different twist. What I'm saying is that no matter where we are, or no matter what context of our lives, there's always a tendency for us as human beings to lose our focus because there's so many distractions out there that kept us from seeing and focusing on Jesus. Here you are, Peter, already stepping up and embarking on the unknown by fixing your eyes on Jesus, and all of a sudden he was distracted by all the other things. Perhaps some of us here are distracted by what's going to be going on in your life right now. You're distracted by, oh, here we are again. I'm coming back again to work on Monday. Or distracted with priorities in life. What I'm going to do with my family, with my bills. What I'm going to do with what's going on in my personal life. I feel guilty of that at some point. When I tend to see things like, here's what's going to happen. When I come to church, here's what I'm going to do. Here's what I'm going to do. I'll make sure that the worship becomes more life-giving and empowering. And I have this checklist that I have to do. Don't we have that kind of checklist as well? We mark it off and say, I've done that. And we get distracted. Peter, walking on the water was short-lived. Because all of a sudden, he moved his focus away from Jesus. And he began to sink. See, church, when we are overwhelmed with this thing called life, when we are facing with storms and adversities, the storm will quickly overcome us if we take off our eyes from Jesus. Peter learned an important lesson that day that we should not ignore. When we take off our eyes on Jesus, the storm will quickly overcome us. The storm will quickly overpower us, consume us, and even destroy us. As a pastor, I see this all the time. When Christians, when followers of Christ stop looking to Jesus, they quickly sink. They got sucked into the temptations. They get overwhelmed by life. And they forget who is really in charge, who's really in control. It can happen not just as individual, it can happen also communally as the body of Christ, as a church, when we veered away from focusing on the main thing. We tend to lose sight on what really matters most. I've seen a lot of churches focusing our energies on programs and activities, on going here and there and there. They are very important. But are they really the most important thing? That is why when we first came here at Plank Chapel and at Bethel, we keep ourselves really intentionally aware that what matters most is our centrality and our faith in Jesus and in Jesus alone. Can we hear amen, church? Friends, whatever you are facing today, whatever our churches is facing today, if we focus on the storms or circumstances of life, that circumstances will overwhelm us. They will overcome us and overpower us. So Jesus here in this gospel story is inviting us to come to him in the midst of the storms of life. He's asking us to step out of faith. And Jesus is only giving us success only when we keep our eyes focused on him and him alone. Like Peter, when we lose our focus on him, we will not be able to make it. We will sink. But if we choose to return our eyes to Jesus as Peter did, Jesus can lift us back. so that we will be above the stormy seas once again. Amen? So when was the last time we tried to ask God again, Lord, help us back again to keep on focus on you? Perhaps today is an invitation for us to refocus ourselves again to the one who is the source, to the one who is the main character of the very story. As we end this message, perhaps maybe the most important lesson from Peter walking on the water is on the last part of this story, which is their response from all the experiences they had with Jesus. What did you notice on verse 32 and 33 in that story? When they get out from the boat, what next they did? Come on, church. They worshiped him. See, church, when we encounter Jesus, when we see a transforming, miraculous encounter with Christ, it calls us to worship. Matthew here, the gospel writer, intentionally highlights this moment because that's the point. The story wasn't even about Peter and his faith or lack thereof. Ultimately, it's the power of Jesus. It's our response to Jesus that is calling us to do the same, just like what the disciples did. When we encounter Jesus in the midst of the storms of our lives and finding ourselves coming out from that experience renewed, refreshed, and transformed, our response should be in a response that will bring us to a place of worship. Amen? It should remind us of who we are and whose we are and who Jesus is and who Jesus will be in our lives. When we follow Jesus, when we keep our eyes on him, he will do incredible things through us, calling us to step out of the boat, venture into the unknown, and walk on the water. When we follow Jesus and keep our eyes on him, he will do great things in and through us in his name. He did it for Peter, and he will do it for you. My prayer and my challenge, that in the midst of the raging seas and storms of life, may we keep our eyes on him. That's the only thing that will help us survive in this thing called life. And that will help us get out from being sinking and being overwhelmed by all the adversities and struggles of this thing called life. And once we experience that, the natural response will be to worship him. May it happen now. And will you let Jesus come to you?